For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Good evening. Welcome to another episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, live from the Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios, part of the Believe in Buzz Radio Networks, where you can hear us on 106.7 in Central Arkansas. All live shows are presented to you by Arkansas Brewing Company in downtown Ozark. I'm Porter Hayes, and alongside me, as always, is Adam Hall. And we're also brought to you by BetOnline, continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device today. Get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. And I was out of commission on Sunday, Monday. I was out of town for business, and I appreciate the guys filling in my spot, Adam, on that. And it seems like this whole thing, when you thought, Dave Van Horn said it, and we'll touch on baseball after the break, but you know, he said, hey, I'm glad Cal's here. It's finally baseball season. But it just seems like the Kentucky fans, media, and one in particular that has a huge following, just cannot seem to cope. And we've even put out a slogan, you know, cope with Pope, you know, a 2024 slogan for the Kentucky fans. They just cannot seem to just let go. Like, they're turning into stage five clingers. They're crying about Arkansas fans being in their mentions, but every time something happens, they're in our mentions, and they're the ones that are, it's hypocrisy. You know, now that Cal's at Arkansas, now that Tyson's come to bat, now that, you know, you have all these donors coming to bat, now Kentucky wants to say, hey, maybe we should cap the NIL. Maybe we should cap that. And it's similar to what Nick Saban did. You know, Nick Saban just thrived on being that top dog in Alabama, getting anybody he wanted. Now that he's out of football, now he's in front of Congress or whatever, saying we need to do something about this. I just think it's very it's crazy that you have two of these blue bloods in their respective sports flipping script. Now the rabbit's got the gun. They don't know how to handle it.
Well, you know, it's been weird. Like, I feel like it dies down for a few seconds coming from Kentucky media. And then next thing I know, there's more popping up. And, you know, like I've said, I still stick with my Twitter being a cesspool. I've been more on Twitter the last 2 to 3 weeks than I have been probably in my entire life. And it's just unreal. And I know a lot of the stuff that pops up on the on your for yous or whatever, or the interactions from people that you follow. So, you know, I know that there's a lot of clapback from Hog Twitter and the other Arkansas fans out there. But it's just, you know, unreal. I mean, I actually responded to one the other day, and it was after Kentucky's introductory press conference or press or whatever. And Tristan Ferris posted, you know, the crowd size at Mark Pope's versus the crowd size at Arkansas. Kentucky basketball is different, was his tweet. And I'm just looking at that and I'm like, so now we're going into, you're calling out a presser that was on a Wednesday night. I believe it was a Tuesday or Wednesday night, whatever it was, at Arkansas. And you're comparing it to a Sunday afternoon at Kentucky. So you're not saying anything about, you know, it being in the middle of the work week for a lot of our folks. Y'all's is on a weekend. You had a little bit more notice. And, you know, and then we've seen, you know, Matt Jones of, you know, whatever that show.
Yeah, they're Matt Jones.
They're Matt Jones. Yeah, they're Matt Jones. I mean, it's just constantly every day. And you want to talk about backtracking and playing both sides of the fence with him and his posts. You know, it's constantly, you know, we need to move on. They're not necessarily in those words, but like, we're better. Let's move forward, blah, blah, blah. And then the next thing you know, he's calling out stuff like Arkansas's NIL. Yeah. And it's just, it's asinine.
Well, and he was against the hire. He's like, you know, who would be excited for this hire? And then he just turns around again. You're talking about flipped in script. You're like, oh, I've never seen nothing like this. One, I understand you're trying to hype your people up, but this is Kentucky basketball. And I'm going to be realistic just for a second. But Kentucky basketball is one of the true blue bloods of basketball. If you're excited about a press conference for your coach, and that's the best thing you've seen out of that program, you're just being petty, one. But two, get real. Like, come on, national championships and all the teams that they've had. And you want to say, and my biggest thing was we got laughed at for having a press conference. Who does that for a coach coming in? And then all of a sudden, the very next day or a few days later, they do the same exact thing. I mean, Kentucky fans, we would never do that. We would never do that. And then, yes, and you're talking about Matt Jones. This dude's got over 300,000 followers. I mean, he's been on the grind for a very long time in Kentucky sports. I mean, but all he is a clickbait dude now. Like, he doesn't do anything but, like you said, ride the fence. And that's where majority of this media is. Mm-hmm. They don't care about what they say. They don't believe half the shit they say. But whatever gets that interaction, and he don't even believe half the things he says. Mm-hmm. That's the part that I don't like about it. And then he has the audacity to come after Arkansas fans, for one, getting Coach Cal, and then two, how dare them come in? It's almost like, how dare them come steal our girl? Well, yeah, we did. We come in there in your backyard, stole your girl, and we're going to sweep you next season, and because you got Cope. I mean, and talking about what, their sixth choice? You know, how many roses they had to pass out before they got to that guy?
Well, then this, you know, this comment right here, is it me? I know Cal is here, but did it look like Cal was not super excited, or is that his personality? I've seen this a lot coming from BBN, if you will. And I think it's a reach, because what I saw up there was a guy that enjoyed telling his stories of his connections to Arkansas and some of the former players, coaches, Frank Broyles, a lot of smiles. I mean, I watched the entire thing and I never really got that. You know, it was a guy that, new city, new home for him. Everything's new. It's a lot to take in. And so I just think it's a reach, or people kind of grabbing at, you know, a few pictures of him in there that maybe he wasn't smiling while other people were talking. Whatever. I mean, come on. If he didn't want to take the job, he wouldn't have taken the job.
Well, and then, you know, you see these comments. I mean, it's just like the portal. They're the best guy when they're there coaching and all the NBA players and all this. But once they leave, he can't coach, or he's lost his touch. If it was that case, why are y'all so mad he left? Why are y'all so mad? You should look, even before Arkansas was in the picture, y'all were wanting him gone. Let's just be real. And this is not a jab. This is the real. Arkansas wanted Cal just as much as Kentucky wanted him gone. And we were praising that. Like, hey, much love to the Kentucky nation. Much love to this. We respect each other as a program. And then all of a sudden, when it happened, it's like, oh, my God, you took my girl. You know, it's like, and then you see these things. It's just like he can't coach. It's this and that. Well, pick a side. And I love seeing the meltdown because this is supposed to be the prestigious program of Kentucky. And I love seeing the meltdown. I love seeing the hypocrisy. I love seeing them cry because they lost their coach that they didn't want, but they lost him. Now they're all in their feelings.
Well, it makes you wonder, would it be different? And this is just speculation on my part. If you got the guys that your media, that your BBN was throwing out there, that y'all are upset that you didn't get them. You didn't get Billy Donovan. Whether Brad Stevens' name was legit or not, it was being talked about. You look at Hurley at UConn. You're throwing out all these names that y'all are swinging for the fences for. You didn't get it. And somehow now it's nothing but hate on Arkansas. You know, when we spoke with Michael Beard, you know, the night after it happened, I mean, I felt like that was very true in what he was saying, that it was just kind of like, it was that divorce that went well. We both knew we needed to part ways. Y'all are getting a great coach, a great guy, a great recruiter, but it was time. And I thought that's where we were all at. But then here we are a week later, 2 weeks later, and it's just growing and growing. And especially the more that it's coming out with Arkansas and NIL money, you know, I've seen, I don't know how many times today post, you know, we've all seen what has been reported out there from Trilly Donovan. And a lot of people don't know, it's a basketball enthusiast. Insider reports a lot, is right on a lot of things. There are things out there may not be as accurate, but for the most part, people pay attention. And so what he put out there about Jerry Jones and doubling what these Kentucky kids were offered or what they were going to get to come, whether that's true or not, we knew Jerry Jones was going to be in the mix. You knew that this was going to escalate the NIL, not just from John Tyson, but elsewhere. And so now today, it's just been all this, you know, the jokes about Jerry Jones and the Cowboys and the playoffs. And I'm kind of like, donating money is completely different than being the general manager and owner of a team. So now we're just trying to reach a little bit with all of this.
The biggest brand. Here's the deal. Yes, you can trash on the Cowboys all they want about game. It's a business. They're the number one brand of all professional sports. And I've said this, Jerry Jones don't care about winning losses. He worries about that bottom dollar. And as long as they are the number one generating, you're still talking about them. He is laughing. He has a vault. That's why I said that. When he got into the NIL thing, he went to his vault. He's like, I'm going to do this and that. But he don't care about wins. I'm sorry, Cowboys fans. He don't care about the wins and losses. Until you start taking away from it, you stop going to the games, stop buying the jerseys, you stop investing in that brand, he don't care. He's still the number. He's bigger than the Yankees. He's bigger than the Lakers. He don't care. So, and I made a post. I can't remember what thread it was on. They were talking about the NIL. Well, they were waiting. You know, everybody was talking about, well, the big time Hunts and the Tysons and the Walmarts and Jerry Jones don't get involved in Arkansas NIL. Well, look. You got the Jerry Jones Center where the football center is. You have the Tyson Track Center, the Hunts baseball field. Walmart's all over the football field. Bud Walton is their arena. I mean, they've invested so much money in the facilities. You have top-notch facilities all around. All right, so now Tyson jumped in the pool first to get in on the NIL. And guess what? They're going to follow because businessmen do what other businessmen do. They see... Well, John, man, he took the leap. He took the leap. Let's see what we can do to help. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. And then that's, you know, and from a business aspect, you're going to see look what the SEC's been able to do when it comes to college football. They've been the first to do things. And then you see all the other conferences doing what they've done. That's what's happened here. Everybody sees that, well, just because of the football program, well, we ain't seen that much, but when you look at around the facilities, there's a big name on every one of those facilities, baseball facility, top-notch facility and stadium in the country, football field, one of the best in the country, atmospheres. When this thing gets rocking, it's going to be the best. Bud Walton Arena, we know all about that. So it's time, and it's funny that people now on the Kentucky side are jumping on our podcast. Look, nobody cares about Arkansas. Well, why are you joining us tonight? You took the time to join us. Bless you, by the way, and have a safe trip back to Kentucky, you know, but it's like, I love it. I think it's awesome because you know what? That means Arkansas is relevant again. If nobody, be saying anything. Now they're saying something.
Well, and I look at it like this, because we say this about a lot of teams throughout different sports. When Arkansas and Kentucky are both good, SEC basketball is better, college basketball is better. So the last 5 years that we've been where we've at with been at with Musselman, and Kentucky's been with those games are intense all the way around. It's great basketball. So in all reality, I want Kentucky to succeed with Pope. I want this to work out in their favor because this is a rivalry in basketball that sets the tone for a lot of the conference in this sport. So I don't wish them to just fall flat on their face. I hope Pope works out for you. I hope you get what you wanted out of him. But at the same time, you know, we sit here and just constantly, you know, just choose a side. Are you glad he's gone? Are you really butthurt over it? Because you're riding the fence.
Yeah, they are. And that's funny. I'm the opposite way. Just because I'm petty and the fact they've acted like they have, I want them to lose every game. I want them to be the new Missouri. You know, 0-19. You know, just for the fact that they're sitting there saying, oh, we can't wait for Cal to be gone. We need a new coach. And then he leaves and they're like, oh, well, y'all suck. It's like, come on now. You can't have it both ways when it comes to your reaction. And it, again, it's the same thing that Nick Saban and Alabama did in the football side of things with this NIL. They thrived. Mm-hmm. Look at the one and dones. Look at all the people Cal got to go to Kentucky in the one and dones. And how many NBA stars he got to come to Kentucky, because Kentucky was that name. And now that they're gone, now we need to cap this. Why? Because now y'all aren't the ones benefiting off of it. Mm-hmm. I have no sympathy for Alabama football. I think, you know, and that's the thing. I'm in the minority of that. When Saban got and said what he done, and him and his wife got in there and was talking about paying the players, and we left because, you know, we didn't see it fit. They get paid that much. You made $11 million a year off of those kids. And you got and anytime there was a raise in college football, you got it matched. And now that it's too hard for you, kids are starting to get paid now. Now you want to bail. I just think it's hypocrisy, and now Kentucky's following suit.
You know, and it really, this morning reading Chris Beesmore's tweet, who's also, you know, Kentucky media, you know, from March 23rd, he goes from, I'm not saying Cal's getting fired or he's leaving for a new team, but if he does, which I don't think will happen, I feel like with Kentucky NIL, we'll be able to replace the roster with great players due to the amount of money we have. Here we go yesterday. If what was posted on his Discord is true, then there needs to be changes in the NCAA in the future. So it's cool when it's working for you, but it's not when it's working for somebody else. And how long since NIL has been introduced, Arkansas fans have been calling for, I mean, the Hunts, the Tysons, the Waltons, the et cetera, all this money that comes out of Northwest Arkansas to step up. And then they finally do, and it's just a meltdown. It's an absolute meltdown. Would it be a meltdown if it wasn't Calipari and they still offered up this money? Or is it, I mean.
No, I think it just has to do with Calipari, the name, and now Arkansas is relevant. Arkansas is the one being talked about. And while we're doing that, we have breaking news. John Calipari has got his assistant, Kenny Payne, Arkansas has named Kenny Payne as the associate head coach. He was recently the head coach at Louisville and has been an assistant under Calipari. So that was the guy that we knew Calipari wanted. So, again, Kentucky fans are probably going to throw a big fit about that one too. But he's named his first assistant coach, huge addition to his staff. And especially when we know, I mean, we can't get too ahead of ourselves Adam, we know it's still a tall task. We know we're not saying that Arkansas is immediately going to go to a Sweet 16 or Elite Eight year one. I don't have those expectations. It could happen depending on his roster. But you can't sit there and look at the roster today and be like, hey, this is a Sweet 16 team. But when you look at everything that's transpired, I think there was a comment. I didn't put it on here. Yeah. Sleeping giant in Arkansas is wide awake. This is from a team that 2 years ago, you know, had a 3 Sweet 16 Elite Eight run. So it's not like this team's been NIT, 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 and then you bring Cal in. We know what this team could be. And I said that when Cal was first hired. This fan base deserves to be back in the 94s and the 95 era where you're going 32-4, 28-6, or what, you know, you're getting back to those. You look at the rosters when they had less than 10 wins and the Arkansas kids that were a part of it. But you bring in someone like Cal, I'm telling you, if he fills this roster up with some 4-stars and 5-stars in this environment, it's going to be nuts.
And I know we all expected more names. I think we were overlooking something that Cal said night one, that this was going to take time, that it's not going to be an overnight thing. And so, you know, we've seen a bunch of the names being thrown out there that closely connected with Cal, and I'm still waiting on a handful of them to commit. I think you're going to have more of the high schoolers than Kentucky players transfer over. I think we've already kind of seen that. But that's what Cal goes for. Cal likes the freshmen. He likes the high school seniors coming in. And so, you know, I think we're all ready for, you know, the first high school name to actually commit. And I think when it happens, it'll be a snowball effect afterwards. You know, it's one of those that the waiting period sucks. But, you know, I think the end result will be worth the wait.
Well, and this comment right here, I mean, I'm looking at the roster now. Look, we don't know who he's going to be able to bring in. We just automatically think that he's just going to get a stable of 4-stars and 5-stars. That might not happen. We know what he's got interested in coming here to Arkansas and who might come here and along with his recruiting class. But look, you know, again, he's only had one national championship at Kentucky. We've seen this happen with Muss. Look what happened with Eric Musselman and going to the portal and throwing these teams together year after year. They clicked later and later in the year. Yes, they went to the Sweet 16 and 2 Elite Eights. So I don't have the expectation of a Sweet 16 year one with Cal. It's not a clown thing. I'm not saying they're going to suck, but I don't have the expectation of Sweet 16 year one with Cal. Because I want to see what type of roster he gets and what he does. Then we go from there. So I don't necessarily think – it's just like if somebody has expectations to win the national championship. They're not a clown for thinking that. That's their expectations. But I don't think it's too bad to sit there and say, I don't have the expectations to be in a Sweet 16 next year. That's my opinion and my personal thoughts on that.
Well, and I think that's, you know, rightfully so. Like we talked about the Monday or Tuesday after the official word that he was, you know, being hired. I mean, just make the tournament and go from there. You know, if we go on a run during the tournament, great. But I'm looking at year one. You don't know what your roster is going to be. So at that point in time, it's hard to say where you're going to go. Now, if you're just going off of the past and what Calipari has been able to get recruiting wise, then yes. I mean, I think you need to be looking at Sweet 16. And I know a lot of Kentucky fans will sit there because they're going to, you know, be hard pressed about them losing to 14 seeds and whoever else in the past.
Didn't they lose like Robert Morris or something at Robert Morris? I mean,
but at the same time, it's, you know, that's the game that they play. You know, I know that a lot of us joke and laugh about that, but, you know, look at same thing what happened to Purdue a year or two ago. Number one seed losing to a 16, was it?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's happened.
Yeah. And, you know, comment here. Do you see any top portal players coming to Arkansas? It really depends on who he brings from Kentucky. It really depends on who how his high school recruiting class, how they come to Arkansas. A lot of it. And look, guys, we're in April. I mean, this is the thing. We announced the hire. Week later, we're sitting here talking about how he's got his assistant. I mean, I expect him to get some border players. I mean, there was a rumor or tweet going around that he was expected to have 13 guys on his roster by September or something. You know, so, yes, I expect. But who? I mean, we've looked in the portal. We were doing that before the season ended when it was that one guy that had 18-6. He was from North Carolina, Wilmington, right? Was it Wilmington?
Yeah, something like that. Or Greensboro. North
Carolina school or Greensboro, you know. But more and more guys can end up going to the portal. I mean, we've seen that in football after the spring game. You know, guys go to the portal.
And I think Calipari looks at a different player than Musselman looks at. Yeah. So, you know, we've seen it, and I forget who it was that tweeted it out there, but at this point in time, I think there had only been like 10 transfer portal players that Calipari had reached out to that was known, and Musselman in Arkansas had already reached out to 40 at this point. So anybody that was entering the portal, Musselman was reaching out to, and that's what's worked for him typically. But Calipari does things differently because Calipari has a high school recruiting class every year that's coming in that's in the top two or three.
He was able to have the depth. Let's just – that's what Arkansas always lacked is the down low depth and the fact that you're able to bring in a big guy, 7'2 guy. I know we've had our own issues with Connor Vanover, and we don't know what Big Z is going to be able to do. But, I mean, just the fact that you know you got a big solidified down low. Now let's build your roster and let's see how this thing goes. And look, Cal, you know, Eric Musselman was like a bam. Let's just go talk to everybody. Let's go pass out a rose to every single portal player. Cal's sitting back taking his time. He has been around this block. He knows exactly what he's doing. This is not his first rodeo. This is not his first rebuild. So, I mean, if say 2 weeks from now, he doesn't have his full roster yet, we're getting into the summer here pretty soon. You know, then we're going to be into football season and then basketball season. There's plenty of time to – and when the portal open, when did the portal officially open for basketball? I mean
– like a week or so ago. What is today, the 18th? It was like the 11th or something like that.
So, you know, it's fairly new when it comes to this portal. And I know we're used to things happening quick, but this guy is going to be a different pace. I mean, he's getting criticized for not calling the hogs or he didn't show too much emotion. This dude's, again, he's seasoned. Mm-hmm. He's just going to sit there and just cook slow. Let him cook slowly, and you're going to see this thing, this monster be born, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, and, you know, looking at some of the players that he has contacted, you know, I know there's all the talk of the portal, and I thought it was a bigger deal that yesterday he flew down to Florida to meet with Liam McNeely, the 5-star out of Montverde. That's more important to him at this point, is going to touch base. And, you know, the only scheduled visit that McNeely has currently is with UConn. I know that's that's what's in our way of landing McNeely from things I'm hearing and whatnot is UConn, which is rightfully so, understandable. Yeah. But, you know, Calipari's jumping on a plane to go see him. Flip side, Mark Pope is having a Zoom call with him. And I saw again yesterday, people's like, well, he just got hired and he's still trying to find his staff. We just hired our associate head coach. So Calipari's in the same boat. I mean, it's one of those things.
He has no players on his roster.
But he's going after the guys. And he wants to see them face-to-face that he has the most interest in. So that's just like he went to the Overtime Elite workout, which I know there was all sorts of coaches there. Because Overtime Elite kept pumping out videos of the coaches that were there. Then when Calipari showed up, and I mean, he made it a point that he went and saw his guys that had decommitted from Kentucky so that they knew, hey, I'm here.
You're going to notice the biggest difference. You touched on something. The biggest difference between Musselman and Calipari, You know, Musselman would go to these games. He would do all these appearances. He would go to every concert. He would try to make himself the spotlight. Nothing wrong with that. Calipari just walks into a room and he's automatically the spotlight. That's look how he went to that overtime elite thing, was talking to the girls basketball players, and do everywhere he went, the spotlight was on him. He don't have to try. He just walks into a gym and people, there's John Calipari. So that's the biggest difference is he don't, and again, it's not a knock on Eric Musselman at all in his personality. He was trying to grow himself and grow the brand of Arkansas. We respected that because it was getting Arkansas noticed. But you don't get noticed on this level when you have a coach like Coach Cal that just walks into a room and he's the first thing they talk about on SportsCenter.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be curious to see how everything – that first time that, you know, the celebs do start rolling into Fayetteville will kind of be weird, a weird experience. Yeah. Oh, because, you know, we're used to former players or former alumni – but I guarantee you it's going to be a sight the first time Drake comes to one of the games and
sits in front row. Anthony Davis, yeah.
And that's the thing, too, with a lot of the former players. And this is not a knock on Kentucky by any means. This is just – this speaks to the relationship that Calipari has with his former players, that a lot of these guys are going to go see Calipari. And, yes, that means at Arkansas.
Yep.
They're still – possibly going to come back and visit Kentucky, but they're going to come visit their coach.
I can't remember who it was that said that. I think it was Chuck Barrett was talking about you're going to walk into Coach Cal's office and you're going to be starstruck. You walk into his office, you're like, oh, that's so-and-so. I mean, that's the type of people he's going to bring in.
100%. And I mean, I think DeMarcus Cousins on his, I mean, just said it perfectly, you know, Arkansas is going to be basically the hot ticket. Arkansas is going to be on television every night. It's basically your Coach Prime effect in college football, but with college basketball.
Yep.
It's the Calipari effect. That's what he brings. And I mentioned it, you know, right after the news and the hire and all that. It's not just the players and whatnot. You're talking Nike is going to step up their apparel for Arkansas because of their relationship with Calipari. I mean, there's multiple businesses that are now there. You're going to be seeing Arkansas more and more because of the relationships that Calipari has. So we're already a Nike school. You're going to start seeing player edition shoes in different colorways that other schools aren't going to get. You're going to see more of the basketball team apparel that comes out. I mean, there's going to be a lot come basketball season.
Well, and we joke too, you know, just how Wright's Barbecue really jump to the forefront of helping other businesses out. You know, Herman's Rib House now is going to be up there. You know, it's being talked about. You got Catfish Hole, you got Wright's, you got Herman's, you know, everything now, it's just going to draw more. It's going to be like a pyramid. You're going to have your few big dogs, then it's going to spread out, and you're going to have all these businesses trying to help out. It's almost going to be like every player will have a sponsor because there's so much business in Northwest Arkansas. To get these kids some type of money or some type, but if they keep throwing out the money like they're doing, they're not going to have any issues with it, you know, and it's easier to do it with a roster of 13 opposed to a roster of 125.
Well, and I was looking at some of, and I forget the player's name, but you know, we're talking about NIL deals. And so let's just not bring in John Tyson to the mix. The players that Calipari brings in, I mean, they're getting deals with, which, you know, I know we're both Nike schools, but these players are getting their own deals with Reebok. They're getting their own deals with these national brands. I mean, we've seen the car deal, not just the car dealerships, but the car brand deals. We've seen, you know, we're starting to see the private jet deals happen with a couple of the quarterbacks. But you're seeing these players get their own deals with these bigger brands, Powerade, Gatorade, Reebok, Converse, that's out of the realm of, and this is no shot to anybody that has donated or struck a deal with any of Arkansas's former players, but there's a big difference between getting a NIL deal with Reebok versus getting an NIL deal with Casey's General Store to promote their breakfast pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we're dealing with. And I know, look, we got off, but we were just calling out the obvious. You said it. I mean, there was a lot of people, you know, business-wise that were upset with what we were saying, but it's just like, it's not a knock. We appreciate the help, but it was like, it was the timing. Now look what's happening. Now get everybody in. I guarantee you, you do a percentage of how many people would donate $25 a month now opposed to a month ago. I would love to see that percentage increase of if you polled a month ago compared to now. It's all about the timing. Nobody wanted to hear that then. I didn't want to hear that then. But as soon as all this stuff happened, I'm like, hey, I might pledge myself. You know, it's all about you get excited. You see promise. It's the investment. What am I investing in? Bobby Petrino with the football program has promise. Coach Cal and his NBA studs has promise. Dave Van Horn, you have promise year-round to invest in this athletic program, along with all the women's sports that are going on and their success. There's reason to invest now. That's what it all comes down to. And I know it was kind of brash and it seemed like we were knocking on the businesses and stuff. But at that point, it was like, why would I give my money when there? What am I giving it to? A 4-8 football program and an 8-10 basketball program or 4-4 they went in basketball. And I'm talking about SEC play, you know? That's what we were looking at. So, but yeah. We're going to take, go ahead.
No, please. I was just saying the timing of a lot of the stuff by Edge. I mean, obviously what they do is appreciative. It's just, it really comes down to just reading the room that when things are down and out, especially during the time of Musselman leaving and that week or however long it was, seeing every few days stuff about Edge. And it's just like, what am I donating to right now? We don't even know who our coach is.
Mm-hmm. So, yep. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. After the break, we'll wrap up the NIL talk, basketball talk, and then we'll jump into baseball, the gymnastics team, softball. We'll talk about the week that was and then what's coming up for the Razorback Sports to wrap things up. And we'll also introduce you to one of the newest professional programs, semi-pro program in Fort Smith, the Fort Smith Marshals, about their upcoming season that starts on May 23rd. They're going to be releasing some of the players. They released some tonight at 7. So we'll talk about that after the break. Attention DIYers and home improvement enthusiasts. Are you searching for the right tools and the supplies to tackle your next project? Look no further than Menards Hardware Store. With locations in Ozark, Alma, and Clarkville, our vast selection of hardware and building materials is sure to have everything you need, whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or building a new deck. Plus, our knowledgeable staff is always on hand to offer expert advice and guidance. And with our competitive prices and convenient online ordering, Menards Hardware Store is your one-stop shop for all your DIY needs. Visit us today, and let's build something amazing together. Are you in need of legal representation? Look no further than the law offices Robertson, Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson. As oldest law firm in the River Valley, we have been serving our clients for over 100 years with locations in Ozark, Fort Smith, and Spring. Our experienced team of attorneys provide expert guidance and advocacy in a wide range of legal areas, including personal injury, family law, criminal defense, and more. Trust in our history and experience to the results you deserve. Contact the law offices of Robertson, Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson today at 479-782-8813. That's 479-782-8813. Are you looking for a place to grab a cold drink and some delicious food? Look no further than Arkansas Brewing Company. Located at 201 South 1st Street in beautiful downtown Ozark, our establishment offers a wide selection of craft beers and tasty eats. But what sets us apart is our welcoming atmosphere and friendly staff. At Arkansas Brewing Company, you'll always feel like part of the family. So visit Destiny and Christopher Brockett and staff today and see for yourself what makes us the go-to spot for locals and visitors alike. Arkansas Brewing Company, come for the drinks and stay for the friends. Searching for premium brewing products that will take your daily routine to the next level? Look no further than Sterling Soap Company. Our handmade soaps, aftershaves, and balms are made with only the finest ingredients that give you the ultimate grooming experience. With a variety of scents to choose from, there's something for everyone. Plus, our products are crafted in small batches to ensure the highest level of quality. So why wait? Visit www.sterlingsoap.com www.sterlingsoap.com or visit our retail store at 16 West Walnut Street in Paris, Arkansas. Shop our collection and discover the difference for yourself. Upgrade your grooming routine with Sterling Soap Company. And welcome back to another episode of the Hog Talk Podcast. And just wrapping up the old NIL talk, we're going to see uncharted waters when it comes to, we've said this many, many times when it comes to NIL, it's good that we're leading the charge. You know, Arkansas was the very first school to have that collective agreement. And, you know, they fell behind the eight ball. They dropped the ball couldn't just seem to get things going. And I know a lot of it was because they didn't have the big money donors promoting the school. But, you know, you have schools like an Auburn that has the one big booster, you know, Nike, Phil Knight, Maryland, Under Armour. You know, you have that one guy. Arkansas has 4 to 5. There is no reason, that you see what they're doing. That's awesome. And I do not want to hear for the next 2-3 years, as long as Cal's here and as long as this money's pouring in, well, why aren't you doing more? They are pouring more money into this program and facilities and now NIL than any program in the country that we know of. And look, this $4 or $5 million is just what they're reporting. We got to know how this stuff works too. How much is really going into these pockets? How much is really going into this stuff that can really build this athletic program? And again, when it comes to the football thing, I touched on it before the break, Adam. It's easy to give 13 players a collective budget of $5 million. That's nothing when it comes to the football program. When you got 22 guys on each side, or 11 on each side, 22 guys on your starting lineup, and then you have third string, fourth, giving all those guys the same amount or giving them big bucks, that could turn into tens and 15 to 20 millions of dollars every year just to even out. And that's just football, basketball, and baseball.
You know, we hear the $5 million, you know, just for basketball. And people really need to take a look at what is going on around the rest of the country. And I know the jokes with this is going to be, well, Ohio State can't beat Michigan, so what did they really buy? But Ohio State reportedly paid $13 million from their football roster this last year, $11.4 million on its assistant coaching staff, and then $10 million on its head coach. So, you know, even spending $13 million in football didn't get them a national championship.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that it's a slippery slope. It really is. We've seen it with all the reported numbers that has come out over with Texas A&M football over the last year or two, that, you know, they're spending $30+ million and they're finishing 8-4, 9-3, or, you know, whatever it is. So for Arkansas, yes, we are in uncharted territories. I think you're going to mix a good coach, great coach, national championship winning coach with the money. And then, you know, like we've said, you're going into, he can recruit anybody. We've seen it. But I think too, he's now going to get those top Arkansas kids when they're here, those high school recruits when they're here. Because let's be real. I mean, we all, I think, were a little bit hurt, or at least I know I was, because I'm still a little bit salty on it, that Malik Monk ended up going to Kentucky over Arkansas.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things that, hey, let's try to rectify that to where Cal doesn't let those guys leave Arkansas like that.
Yeah, and look, there's still going to be those players that just don't want to go where everybody else was going. Look, when I made my college choice, you know, at Ozark, everybody went to West Ark, which is now UFIS, and Arkansas Tech, the majority. I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to go where – why do I want to go from high school to just seeing all my high school people at college? You know, I didn't want to go there. I was going to go to South Carolina and go to a college out there, and I was going to live out in South Carolina, my dad's side of the family. but my mom was having health issues, so I needed to stay back home. So I went to Connor State, which is a small community college out in the middle of a cow field in Oklahoma. Really, really good baseball program. And a couple, Mason Jones, Orlando Cook. I know that name's kind of iffy to throw around the razor, but, you know, they've Connor State's a name known in the basketball and baseball world. But I went there because I didn't want to go close. And you're going to have that. You're going to have that one guy who wants to go to a school and make a name for himself. Or, you know, he sees this stacked lineup. Where's my playing time? We're going to go. We see all this. Guys who aren't starting, they're jumping in the portal. That's their right. So you don't get mad even when you have a guy like Cal. You look at this roster as a whole, and if you got 4 and 5 stars up and down, and you know you're bringing in national talent, you're going to miss out on some of the guys. So it's not – he's not going to just be the cure-all. You're going to get some guys that you probably wouldn't, but you're still going to get those recruits that want to go somewhere else.
Yep, and it's one of those, you know, I think we're, like I said earlier, we're just all waiting for that first domino when it comes to the high school guys to see what's going to happen. Obviously, Big Z was the first, you know, the very first one to commit overall. But I think once you get one or two of these high schoolers to commit, you're going to see the rest of them follow suit.
Yeah, and we're going to move on to baseball. I know we say this every week, you know, it's finally baseball season. It's finally here. And then, you know, you have things like this happen. But Arkansas suffered their first series loss, SEC series loss against Alabama, but bounced back with 2 come-from-behind wins against Texas A&M. I believe they were down 7-1, 7-0 in the first game, come back, and that was a very, very exciting game to win that one. And then, of course, you won last night, and they have South Carolina coming up. And you had mentioned before the show that South Carolina is going to pull an LSU and, you know, not pitch their starter in game one, you know. And again, I don't know if that's – it didn't work out for LSU, so I don't know if it's going to work out for South Carolina, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean – I guess I kind of get the mindset of it. I thought it was a little bit different to try out, but now that it's happening multiple times, I'm just looking at it like, I mean, it's just got to be truly fear of pitching against Hagan Smith. And so you're trying to get whatever edge. You're basically saying you're going to drop that first game no matter what. So you need to put your best pitcher to try to come back. I mean, I just, yeah, I get there's, you're trying to play chess or whatever, but at the same time, it's just kind of like I look at it like you're fully admitting that you don't trust your guy to go out and outperform Hagan Smith.
And that's a respect. They respect who he is. And we dealt with that with Kevin Copps. And I seen that North Carolina State done the same thing and it worked for them. They didn't, they just gave up that first game. Remember, it was a run rule. It was, I mean, Arkansas just crushed them game one, and then they turned around and flipped script and ended up winning, taking the series. You know, that's what they're trying to do. And again, the difference is now you have the pitching behind them that you can now. Yeah, we got Hagan Smith, but you also got Tiger. You know, you also McIntyre. You also got a Frank Fisher. You know, you got a just a stable of pitchers behind him that, yeah, you might want to take game one loss, but look, it's no guarantee that, but Alabama just did it. Alabama beat Arkansas in the series. So, I mean, we know it can happen, but I don't know the mindset of just like, we're not going to pitch. You're giving Arkansas an edge every series when you do that mentally. You know, you can't beat us pitching your ace against our ace. So now there's a slight edge, but it's still an edge. And you got to somehow every week and use that to your motivation of, we know they're letting us have the edge and they're taking the gamble game one. Let's put our foot on their throat, lock game one down, and then go get them in game two. And just take the series in game two, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And after, I mean, the Alabama series, I looked at it like, would you rather, I would have rather lost the series like we did, get it out of the way.
Yep.
Cause you know, one's going to come sooner or later, and then get back on track heading into the SEC tournament and then regionals, et cetera. I mean, get that proverbial monkey off your back now, even, you know, struggling against Texas Tech the previous two games, because let's all admit that that was a struggle. You know, it's a struggle to watch, and I'm sure it was a struggle for the players playing. But work through this stuff, get past it, see where your weak areas are, which, you know, I would say with Texas Tech, it was a little bit of, it was pitching and hitting. I mean, yeah, it was just on both sides of it. But work through it and then get ready to go for the postseason.
Yeah, you're going to have adversities, and that's what you need. You need those adversities. You need, well, look at the Texas Tech games. I mean, you turn around, you bounce back, and you win both of those games, especially the first one. You know, you're 27-1 at home, and you're 27-1 at home for a reason. But you know, you see that this team has to be a complete team to win it all. Mm-hmm. And you got to hit, but you can't. I mean, you can't just expect every game to be able to come back. You want to, but you got to jump out in front. You really got to get those sticks going. But yet, again, you can't just rely on your pitching, because guess what? You go down 4-0 on a grand slam, or somebody gets a good barrel on the bat. Now you're down 3-0. You just cannot overcome that. They've proved now that they can against Texas Tech, which, again, when you're talking about baseball, this can happen in a regional. This can happen super regional. So you're having these instances where you're battling back. That's what makes championship teams. Mm-hmm. You can cruise through the season never facing an adversity, and you don't know how, and then it's a shock. Wait, this ain't supposed to happen. What's going on here? And then everything falls apart. If your bats are relying on your pitching, and then your pitching fails, the bats don't know how to react. If your pitching is relying on your bats, and then your bats fail, your everything just falls apart. So having that solid foundation of both, where you have the balanced offense, and if this thing, again, we've talked about it, if it keeps rolling and they really start clicking on all cylinders, they have a strong chance to make a run in Omaha.
And it's crazy to think that we're, what, almost 40 games in? I mean, it's almost May. I feel like the season just started, but here we are. I don't know if it's just the timing of everything or playing 4 to 5 games every week, you know, just makes it speed up a little bit more. But I'm ready for the SEC tournament to get here, just because I think we're all ready to get to the postseason play to see if they make it back to Omaha.
Yeah, they're sitting at 32-5 right now, 12-3 in conference. As we said, South Carolina coming up this weekend at South Carolina, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You're going to be on the SEC Network Plus all three games, 6 o'clock on Friday, Saturday at 2 o'clock, and Sunday at 12:30. And then you have your midweek against UAPB coming up on Tuesday in North Little Rock. So, and then they come back to Fayetteville against Florida. So this is going to be, and I know Florida's not ranked right now, but these next two weekends are going to be very important to, because now you have that daunted matchup the first weekend in May against Kentucky, which, how sweet would that be? Because they're on top of the East right now. Mm-hmm. You go into Kentucky and sweep that. Boy, you talking about being insufferable. They wouldn't know. I mean, that's going to be a low-key interesting matchup because of everything that's happened. I would love to be able to see if they don't move one of these games, and I'm very disappointed that none of these three games are on the SEC Network or anything. It's all SEC Network Plus. And I don't know who we need to talk to about marketing or getting these games, but you have the number one team in the West and the number one team in the East coming together, and you're going to put these games on the SEC Network Plus.
Well, not only that, which time will tell, because we still have a little bit ways, it's the number two and the number three team in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, not just one and one in the East and the West. You're talking about a top three matchup in the entire country. That should be every night or every day, depending on the times. That should be national television.
And I'm sure they will. I mean, again, we're getting this 3 weeks from now. You know, South Carolina And then you have Florida and then Kentucky. So we got plenty of time, but it's just funny that you see that and you're like, why is this not getting any more up? And it's weird how that happens in baseball a lot. Everybody talks, and this is the thing, everybody talks about the women's sports and some of the basketball. I feel like baseball gets more shaft than anything when it comes to not playing these games on the SEC network. And how many times, Adam, I've texted you, put it on the SEC alternate channel.
The unused.
My son is 14 years old, and I think I've watched one game maybe on that channel since he's been alive. Like, utilize that. You have ESPN3 now. You have SEC Network Plus. Why can't you broadcast that on the alternate channel? That just, I don't understand. That's the biggest mystery. I want to call that the eighth wonder of the world. Why don't they use the SEC alternate channel?
I would like to know what they have actually shown on that channel.
It's a blank screen. It's just,
I mean, yeah, it's just, I like, what's the point of it?
It's almost like back in the day when you had the local channel and you had the bar, the blue, red, green colored bar across the screen that says we'll be back at 6 a.m. People don't remember those days.
Oh, man. Showing your age there.
Yeah. Oh, but we'll move on. The gymnastics team season came to an end tonight at Nationals. Fell to LSU. They had, I believe it was LSU, Stanford, and who was the other? Do you have that pulled up right quick?
I can have it for you in just a second. Of course, yeah. What? My phone's doing its own
thing. I'll look and see the meet notes. Let's see if it has the who they're going up against. I know it was LSU was one of the teams, and I believe Stanford was one of them. But they fell. They got fourth place tonight, end of their season, magical run. Again, we can't say enough about this program, what Jordan Weaver's been able to do. And you're talking about Coach Cal building a staff for the basketball program. Coach Weaver's slowly built this juggernaut of a staff at Arkansas, and you've seen the big jump between last year and this year, going back to the national championships for the first time since 2018, and using the transfer portal the last couple of years to really bring in some studs when it comes to, in a mix of local. We're talking about Lauren Williams being a local, you know, and having your transfer portal players come in. So amazing run for the gymnastics program. Nothing but love for them moving forward. It gives you hope knowing that we see this program going to all their matches in Bud Walton Arena. It's going to be very exciting to see that. And much success to that program. And again, I think that's one of them that I think Coach Weaver should be recognized. She should be Coach of the Year nationally for what she's been able to do for that program.
Yeah, definitely. And then I was just looking at the upcoming schedules for everything, because I know softball's got a big matchup this weekend at Alabama. So, you know, I think it's a bit of a different feel compared to last year when we played Alabama, but it's still big. I mean, two of those three games are on national television. So, you know, we don't get to see the baseball games, but I think that last weekend and now this weekend, we're getting to see two of the three softball games be on national television.
And it's really good to see Robin Heron come back. SEC Pitcher of the Week this week, really got the bats going, finishing off the, you know, we're talking about the baseball team going to South Carolina this weekend. Arkansas just come off the series win against South Carolina, a team that on the rise, they got a very good pitcher out of the portal and Vodder. I really wanted her to come to Arkansas, but she goes to South Carolina. They won the first game 4-3, lost the mid game 2-1, and then won on Sunday 3-0. And like you said, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Bogle Park, 6 p.m. on Friday, 8 p.m. on Saturday, and 1 p.m. on Sunday. And I believe they're having a bark in the park on Sunday. So be sure to look at those. And they have a lot of promos and stuff going on with this team. So go out to the berm. I really like going out to the berm and watching the game. It's just like going to the baseball and Baum Stadium. You know, you go to Bogle Park, it has that same feel.
Absolutely. Oh, I totally whipped. I thought they were at Alabama this weekend. That's totally my fault. My graphic is wrong, folks.
Oh, you're all right.
So no, I was just looking at it. Caught me off guard. So, but yeah, I mean, sports all around up in Fayetteville. You know, you can just get basketball back on track after one down season and get football back on a path of, you know, 8+ wins consistently. You know, it'll be hopping up there. But I think that, you know, football's got a ways to go to get there.
And we're going to end the show tonight. We're going to talk about the newest professional team to come to Arkansas. It's the Fort Smith Marshals and their mascot, Smitty, that was voted on by the fans. They will start their season on May 23rd. The Marshals will take on the Texarkana Rhinos. This isn't the, you know, the Naturals or the Travelers, but it's a, I would almost call it kind of like a Cape Cod League style. Mm-hmm.
100%.
Just a next chance for some of these kids that want to get a look to try to get on a major league team, summer league team. It's going to be a lot. I talked to the GM, Greg, and his staff, and they're really wanting to get their own stadium, one. And I can't give out too many details about that, but if this comes to the way they want it, it's going to be an amazing ballpark in Fort Smith. But they're going to be playing their games until then at Crowder Field at UFIS Stadium. But they're going to do a lot of promos. They're wanting it to be a major league atmosphere. Come out. Season tickets are on sale. You can get single game tickets. Go on the website here. They're dropping the roster as we speak. For all you local guys in the River Valley, Arkansas, you're going to see some familiar names that they're dropping. So it's going to be really cool this inaugural season to see a lot of local talent, Arkansas kids, and they're trying to get a couple of former Razorbacks to get on the roster to be able to go. So this inaugural season, you know, test trial, you know, they got started late in the season when it comes to building the team. And I talked to Greg and he said, I think they get like 2-3 days of practice before the season starts. So it's almost like the TBT basketball tournament. Yeah. You only have a couple of days before you start playing. So really excited about them. If you're in Fort Smith, look up their schedule, go catch a game. It's going to be a lot of fun to go watch them play this summer.
You know, I'm anxious to see it. I'm anxious to see the turnout. I know that some of the stuff I've seen on social media it's not been anything directed in the way of the baseball team, more so as unhappy residents with Fort Smith as a whole. Yeah. But you know, don't take it out on this team. Go out and support them. The games are going to be entertaining. You know, it's one of those that I look at. You like taking your kids to UFIS games, you like taking your kids to Northside and Southside and Greenwood games. Add this to the list. You know, it's going to be something that take your kids out. There's going to be theme nights, there's going to be specials when it comes to food and drinks, etc. So just go enjoy it. You know, I think opening up that Memorial Day weekend is great timing because a lot of people will be off work. I think it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday game. So you know, just start your Memorial Day weekend off and go take a look and take a watch.
Yeah, we're gonna have the GM Greg come on May 6th. We're gonna introduce the team, the schedule. We're really going to deep dive into, you know, what it took to put this team together, a fresh league. I'm the commissioner of the league. This is brand new for a lot of teams. So we're really excited to have Greg on and talk about the program. But Adam, if you ain't got anything else, I'll wrap it up.
No, this last thing I've got is you've got, I think, 8 pro hog basketball players in the NBA playoffs. The reason I'm not including Mason Jones in that is he has not been on the active roster for the play-in games. If they move him to the active roster for the playoffs, I will gladly add him to that graphic that I put out. But at this point in time, there's 8 hogs. There's somebody playing almost every single night. So, you know, it's even if you don't have a team, it's good basketball. Just go. Your pro hogs get quite a bit of playing time, or at least a handful of them do. So, you know, just take a watch and support them.
That's right. Well, that will do it for this episode of the Hog Talk Podcast. I'm Porter Hayes for Adam Hall. We will catch you on Monday recapping another eventful weekend of Razorback sports, and we'll catch you then.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.